If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Oh, hey, guy, Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
The Jewish apocalypse.
Men of our race are still being born with the right stuff.
We have to start over because I left the theme music on solo. Or should we just, we'll just start the show now. No one cares.
We can just start the show now. Start the show now. I couldn't hear anything. I just heard like the extended intro.
I forgot to hit on solo the intro. Because it used to be like, I said, okay, guys, we're recording. And then somebody would cough or somebody would sniffle.
I sniffle a lot.
So I started putting it on solo, which where nothing goes through the recording except the theme music.
Right.
And then now the downfall, the pitfall is I might forget to unsolo it. When I want to sniffle.
So that's what this was.
But do you have the solo button there on your mixing console, or are you having to do it with your computer?
It's on this virtual console right here.
That's fucking gay. You need that tactile solo button that you
I could, but it's not... I think I can do that. It's just not worth the trouble.
All the tactile buttons are here, and I've never seen him use tactile buttons during the show ever.
I went through a phase where I did use the tactile buttons, but it was kind of... That mixer's not really built to have that. It's kind of clunky. I don't think the fader actually moves the motors on the motorized fader, so it creates sort of a disparity between where the level is and where you think it is. So I stopped using it.
Mm-hmm,
I could try again. I know the solo button would work. I could do that. I could have a dump button for McNabb. It's like he's talking about pickup trucks again. And I could just dump them out.
The dump button, like the dump bed that they don't put on pickup trucks because pickup trucks have tiny beds now.
Because people they're just luxury cars now.
Luxury cars. Like I love how the pickup truck bed has got shorter and shorter every fucking year. And now I look at it, I'm like, that's like a Subaru Brat.
Pickup truck bed. You either get an 8 or a 6.
What's happening is the cabs getting bigger?
The cabs get bigger, and you can get a big cab, and you get an 8-foot bed, or you don't. Like the option's there. It doesn't matter because no one can afford a truck anymore. My friend told me an infuriating story. So you know how COVID pandemic, there was something with chips. Something like there's not enough tater chips out there, and they can't make trucks. And
the guys
in the assembly line, they don't have enough Lay's. They don't have enough Hot Cheetos to have enough energy to build trucks. So there's a truck shortage because there's a chip shortage. Mm-hmm.
The rising sun of Frito-Lay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like that. That was great.
Rising sun of Frito-Lay.
Oh, that's from an old... I used to watch conspiracy videos like 15 years ago. I saw one guy who was doing... He was doing like Masonic imagery and corporate logos. And at one point he was like... And he was trying... He was really dramatic tone. He was like scanning over the... He's like the Shell Oil logo. He's like, that's not really... He's like, that's not really a Shell. That's a rising sun. And then he flips the... And he's like, and here we have the rising sun of Frito-Lay. And he said it in this really dramatic tone, and I always stuck in my mind. I wish I could find
here's
the video
the
again. I'll bet you it's still on YouTube someplace.
I'm sure it is.
I doubt I could
Something
find
that schizo and stupid doesn't get censored.
No, yeah, it'll still be out.
Maybe the chip shortage is like Eric Estrada's like sitcom. Like there's not enough episodes. You know, where they're like police officers.
Well, there's a shortage of reruns of Chips. I don't know if you can even find that on any streaming service. I bet you could. I bet you could.
I found it, and they want you to watch it with ads. And I'm like, no!
It's not worth it. It's not actually a good show.
It's like, imagine watching Chips, and then like you have the tranny AIDS medication ad every 10 minutes.
Well, imagine watching Chips.
I mean, when I was a kid, I could...
I watched it when I was a kid. Yeah, I was a child. I could sit through it now.
I can hear, like, those weird analog synth sounds and the...
The thing that's going to make you annoyed about...
I can hear that.
Oh, the opening intro.
And you see, like... Is that Vangelis?
That's like a Vangelis style.
I don't know.
But it's probably too primitive for him.
It's like scuffed Vangelis.
It is scuffed Vangelis. But watching Chips will make you sad. Because you'll see like how white California was in the 1970s, and you'll be like, oh man.
Actually, watching Chips will make you angry because it's like
I wanted to show you something. Yesterday, I discovered that the electric semi trucks are starting to appear. So you got electric semis,
like tractors.
But this,
electric semis, like tractor trailers.
Yeah, yeah. Now take a look at this photo. I think just sums up the entire electric boondoggle perfectly. So you've got a truck here on the left.
Wink. Here we go. All right, we got a big. Oh, there's we got some shipping truck. Containers.
Now, what's that on the right?
A boat, a barge.
That's a boat. Is the boat electric? No,
no. That was one of the things Salty's talk about. Like the amount of diesel that's burned on the ocean, like dwarfs the entire like American car culture.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like the and, amount like, of fuel used, like moving cargo. Is like just so like it's interesting that they've rolled out the thing as in the consumer space, right? Because actually they use your consumption of gasoline and fuel into your car, which from your individual perspective you probably feel like depending on how much you drive you're consuming a lot of gas.
This is you're filling your car up. Gaslighting, literally gaslighting.
It's literally gasoline lighting.
The idea that
it's petrol light.
The idea that you use too much energy and that you have a carbon footprint and you're then you need to stop doing it. This is just the government fucking you. This is big capital fucking
but
you.
They,
saying,
but
and see, they're using it now to deprive you even more because now you can't even afford a car.
They use your perspective bias of your own life about you think I'm like burning a lot of gas. It's like a nothing.
You're not
the 16 gallons in your gas tank in your car is like nothing compared to the Earth.
Right.
It's like a, it's not even
and there's nothing a more
pinprick.
There's nothing
it's
more nothing. Sustainable than fossil fuels because there's so much.
Well, again, we don't have to, my point is that the way they're it's interesting how they rolled like how they rolled out this thing.
They just ramrod.
And I'll also say
people.
This: I don't give a shit if you believe in global warming either. Like I'm just not mad about it anymore.
I do. If you believe in global warming, you're
I don't think
you're,
so.
It's a Jew thing. That is a huge fucking gaslighting plot just to create energy market regulation for the sake of controlling people and power. Not about money, literally about power. Energy is power. I mean political power as well.
Yes,
the entire thing is a scheme, it's a conspiracy theory. It's total bunk. It's total bunk. They have never just because of the fact because they control the media and academia, they get to conveniently ignore all the predictions they've ever made that have never come true, all the data they ever presented that was always either found to be falsified or filled with caveats, or
I would say nothing
they declare ever pans out.
Well, they were saying, did you say there was a recent prediction I saw? It was like ocean current system is going to die by like 2024. Like I'll bet you it doesn't.
Of course, it's not going to.
I'll bet you it does.
They have, that's just, I mean, but since they control every method of mainstream information, they get to hype it on media, they get to put it in entertainment media as a, oh my God, and they get to ignore, you get to pretend like an inconvenient truth never happens.
Right, right.
You could go see a photograph, I can't remember what it was. Was it Plymouth Rock? I think I saw a photo of like Plymouth Rock like 100 something years ago, and then now, and the sea level is exactly the same.
No, the sea level rising isn't happening.
One of the main concerns.
There's another question
of the
I have.
Temperature rising.
Look, again, I don't like this topic that much.
I like this topic because remember what happened during COVID? Remember the projections during COVID? Remember all that data?
No.
It was all wrong.
Which data?
It was like never fully accurate.
That's epidemiology always has.
Okay.
So does climate science.
Yeah, there are fundamental... epistemological problems with epidemiology and climate science. The one thing I will say is the detractors of those things, if your detraction is based on the idea that there are just fundamental problems of knowledge that we haven't figured out yet, but if you're pretending like you know the truth, then I think you're lying. You know what I mean? Like, if you're saying like,
right. it's
definitely going to be like they're lying with an agenda. If you're like, no, there's just fundamental epistemological problems. I think with the
hey everybody, Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life, and I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
Climate, sure. Particularly, there's fundamental epistemological problems that we have about finding
there
out
could
and
be
making predictions
human-induced
about it.
Possible changes on the environment. I think it'd be kind of silly to pretend otherwise, but
not on the
whatever
climate.
They're claiming is basically going to be 100% wrong all the time.
Well, yeah, because of the yes, and they're so not even the thing is they're not is even the getting into the ballpark.
Your solution to climate change is to take consumers who are currently consuming gasoline and have them have that consumption a couple layers removed to a power plant and it's plugged into your car instead. That's not a solution. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. If you're burning yes. biomass instead of burning gasoline or using diesel to generate power somewhere else to power the car, it's just a lie.
One thing I'll say is there's a lot of epistemological problems with it, and their solution wouldn't tackle it.
Why is
even
their
if
solution
it,
to also shut down nuclear power?
Right. Well, here's my thing. Their solution wouldn't solve it even if it were true.
Right. That's how you know it's a scam.
And so there's something else going on. Additionally, as you said, like many of the things that they try to do are counterproductive. I mean, it's similar to like the way they... I mean, I think a much larger issue is the issue of race. But again, their solutions to racial problems are actually not. They're actually just further creating the problem, which is then you have to assume this is what they want to do. And I think we have actually very solid ground with the racial issue on which to say for sure this is actually what they want to do. We have actually really good evidence on that. The whole show was basically dedicated to exposing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, if you want to talk about pollution, that's a race issue. Actual, like, creating disgusting environmental conditions because you're a slovenly people that run a disgusting nation. Like, we talk about India, we talk about Africa all day.
As Alan was pointing out in his environmentalist speech at the last NJP, he was saying, if they believe in this stuff, I mean, because he's a believer in man-made climate change. And that's fine, but his thing is, like, they themselves are creating further problems.
Okay.
By making everybody have to run away from cities and not use public transportation to avoid niggers. He's like, the amount of people who move to, like, 2-hour drive commute to get to work.
Right.
So they don't have to live near. And the people that even in New York City now, Ubers are everywhere because nobody, even the people that live in New York City to commute in within the city, don't want to take the fucking subway.
Well, that's what I think.
Because niggers are throwing people on the subway tracks.
Well, that's why I think like the ending the gasoline powered vehicle by 2030 is aimed at reversing this. Oh no! Go back to the city. Go live with the niggers we've imported. We put them there for a reason. Go be terrorized.
I don't agree with that at all. I don't think they want people back in the cities. They don't want white people in cities.
They don't want white people.
They don't want white people in cities.
They don't want white people anywhere. But
I can't exactly explain what is going on with the vehicle economy or anything. I think we have just certain capitalist systems that are coming to the end of their fucking life. I'd also have to just look into it a little more than I have. I don't want to speculate about what it is they're doing. We see what they're doing. We see that they're increasingly coming out with EVs in every line of vehicle, every type. Now, I was not aware they were doing them even with tractor trailers. That seems crazy.
Yep.
When they rolled out pickups last year, I was like, what? And as it turned out, the Ford F-150
Escalade or something. They're doing like luxury SUVs.
Obviously, they're doing luxury SUVs. They did a Humvee. They did a big truck. And like the Ford F-150 was the first one off the line. It rolled it out last year, and it was a total failure. They had to recall them.
It could very well be that they're trying to engineer just like planned up. Not planned obsolescence, but just failure, because they're... Batteries are going to be gone in 7 years, so I got to buy a car. I don't know. And it feels silly speculating.
This is my point. I just don't know.
I just know that like using using climate change as the excuse to do things is just a giant scam, and that's how they use it. There is no climate change.
There's another option here, though, which is that
the problem with climate change is, like, the people that are supposed to argue against it, conservatives, as usual, don't have good arguments. They own themselves. They don't try to counter the science. You ask a conservative for the last 25 years, or a libertarian, you ask them about climate change, they're going to give you a lesson on, like, Misesian business cycles and free markets.
Right.
And basically all they're going to talk about is how the regulations aimed towards climate change are just going to, they're just going to get in the way of our free market. And it's just like, shut the fuck up. Why don't you call these people out as, these are just Zionists?
Yeah,
that are
they attack it as a disruption of the free market. And I'm like,
it's like sometimes the
market's like the worst argument, yeah. Because, but now I don't really know why it is that they're so focused on it. Maybe they believe that in fact, maybe they believe their own shit. Like, here's another option.
I don't think so.
Well,
no.
Hold on a second.
Nothing moves policy-wise like anti-climate change stuff. Just all over the world, they just do it. I mean that's why they're rioting in France. Well, before the nigger riots, but you just shovel out bad policy based on we're going to stop climate change, and it just lets capital do whatever the fuck it wants with you. That's just been. I mean, there was no demand for electric vehicles. Now it's like people have buckled into like a negotiation. It's like, well, I mean, they're not that bad. They're actually kind of good. It's like there was no demand for it before they shoved them out onto market. It's like, why are they shoving things out into market? Why is this happening? What are they doing? And why they're talking about climate change? They're closing down. They just want to deny you the ability to travel, the ability to heat your home. Like there's a plot for whatever reason to deny normal people the ability to use the conveniences of the modern world, the industrial revolution that has been a disaster for humanity. The bigger disaster is the Jewish capital that's taking it away from you little by little using climate change as the excuse.
It could be they're actually just starting to acclimate people to the second world conditions. Because that's what this country's going to be.
But they're like creating it. It's weird.
That's obviously that's being created. We didn't have to.
Like, we don't need to do that.
Well, that's the whole point. They are creating, like, at the end of Strike Mind yesterday, we talked about
they're removing, like, the illusion that you've made it. They're like stripping that away.
We talked about the actual idea that what is actually going to happen in like 10, 15, 20 years. Would the boomer die off? How many vital systems are being maintained by 75-year-old boomers, you know, who might have dumb political ideas sometimes but are functional people that can run systems? So what will happen? Like, and what we were saying was, look, like, collapse in many sectors of our society has already happened. And there's many places in America that are effectively collapsed. Collapse is not going to look like Mad Max. We've been over this many times. What we will have
is
just going
to be... It will
look
like Mad Max because we'll have no gas stations, a bunch of electric cars, and no power grid because it fell apart. Okay. So you'll have Mad Max without cars.
Well, no. What you're going to have increasingly...
Get a horse.
Mad in America is it's going to be... like a second or a third world country,
we'll no
where rich people have everything and everybody else is, and it's just going to systems break down, things are unreliable. Every day is a grind, everything's a struggle, and in fact, that's a great system for rich people that don't care about other people like Jews, because actually, it's counterintuitive, but those kind of conditions are not conducive to a political revolution,
right? And this is why every time
rat
you start
race conditions are not conducive to a political revolution.
They know that, and this is why anytime you that, start yeah. approaching this, maybe they believe their own. But like, no benefit of that. This is what they're working towards. They're working towards.
Yeah,
that. There's no benefit of doubt. There's no maybe, and it's like no.
They might be wanting just reserve cars for only super rich people.
That too, but it's like,
which is kind of the same thing you're saying.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like we're
only
create,
really wealthy people can have cars anymore,
and we're going to create this delineation between the haves and have-nots, like literally.
Right.
And that's why none of these policies make any sense. That's why you can't have nuclear power, but you also can't have fossil fuel power. You also can't put a dam up to create hydropower. You can't do anything because everything disturbs some.
Now, that's actually been a sidelong theory of some of the anti-climate change people for a while that have kind of around the edges come up with this critique that, like, actually what this is, because they always note that, like, the biggest environmental activists are always very affluent people, right?
Yeah.
And as usual, they blame whites. He's always rich.
Well, it's
white
because
people,
they
right?
missed like the entire. They missed the other part of the plot, which is like rebuild the temple. In Al-Aqsa.
Yeah, sure.
Like, forgetting
sure.
that part. Like that's why you. That's why you swing and a miss.
Well, I'm not. My point is though that, but what they're grasping is that they say, like, hey, this environmental activism by these affluent whites, usually they do. Mm-hmm. It's funny, when everybody across every political spectrum will attack whites when it's convenient for their particular party. Like, oh, those are rich white people. It's always easy to beat up on whitey, even when like 90% of whiteys are getting fucked by this shit, right? But so they're like, these people go and they do this activism, and it's really just an underhanded way of preserving their own privilege and status.
Okay.
Like these environmental protests are basically, yeah, like, what do they do? You have like rich kids going and like spiking trees so that lumberjacks can't make a living or get killed while trying to actually do logging. And that, like, you know, drives up the price of lumber, it loses jobs or whatever. That's like one aspect. I don't know how much that happens anymore. But you'll have like, okay, we need a hydroelectric power.
Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
In this area, so what that will do is that will create a new power grid. It will create more electricity on the grid. It will create some jobs. It will create a zone where people can have energy, and it would actually improve economic conditions. Now, yeah, you need to balance that with preserving the environment, of course, but I don't know how actually bad, and sometimes dams actually improve environments by creating new habitats, new biomes,
well,
or
what
whatever
they look at.
But
is
here's
like,
the other
they
thing.
Look at it like, all right, this species is going to lose its habitat, therefore it's like it's just vetoed.
Well, this is, but this is the thing. So that's my point, but that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
But the argument then is that the people that come in against that, pretending to care about the habitat of the wood grouse, are really just trying to keep people at the low end of the totem pole, right, in their place.
Right.
This is a theory I've seen some of the anti-climate change people come up. Now, the other problem with their argument, though, is that generally they are proponents of unrestricted capitalism.
Right.
And they're saying, like, power companies should be able to just do whatever they want.
The power companies,
and I'm like,
should
all right,
be
see, neither
profit
of these is really true.
That shouldn't be capital.
Neither of
a,
these is, yeah, really true, right? Right. So, yeah.
Well, they also would probably say that, like, think of the diggers in this area who could use... Who could use cheap power? Like,
oh, they always
oh, poor niggers
talk about, yes, they'll say that too. All these black people could get jobs doing it. I mean, no, they can't. They can't. They can't. But anyway, yeah. So there's a lot of stuff with this kind of thing. And one of the reasons I'm wary about it these days is because I've become wary of all conservative bugaboos. And I'm in the mood to like rethink and reexamine all things that are essentially conservative tripwires and bugaboos, and not just to like own conservatives, but because I'm like, if conservatives are really strong believers in this, is there an error in the thinking someplace?
Well,
the problem with
applying that to energy related stuff is the critique is that like energy production shouldn't be a part of capitalism, whereas a conservative American will be like, for profit is the best motive, yada yada yada, these, so therefore these companies can do whatever they want.
Right,
whoever. But that's not
you
the way.
Like,
to look
turn
at
off
it.
The power in California. I was, yeah, talking to someone recently, and their work shift at a particular place of employment was, mm-hmm, rendered difficult by, yeah, the rolling blackouts.
Yeah, that's deregulation. And then liberals just, yeah, deregulation, capitalism. But like, you don't do anything about it. You just want to like
now,
minor adjustments as to who has the monopoly. It's like, just
you, when you start getting power blackouts, you are getting into failed state territory.
Right.
Well, this is my point. This is my point. But here's the thing. Power blackouts are an everyday occurrence in poor countries.
Right.
Which means countries that,
well,
have majority non-white populations.
Those blackouts tend to be technical, In California, it's just it's pricing induced. It's middle.
So they're
induced.
Doing the Enron shit again.
They've been doing that They've for 25, 30 years.
California, Andy Fastow, the Jew at Enron,
yeah,
who was the financial manager at Enron, who Kenneth Lay, who went to jail for this shit. And I don't. I think Andrew Fastow. I'm not sure if he did or not. I'd have to look again. Mm. Kenneth Lay went to jail for this shit. He himself said he did not understand what Andrew Fastow was doing, but money was rolling in, so he was like, okay. But, like, yeah. Andy Fastow, who was a Jew, came up with this whole idea of bidding, of marketizing energy production and distribution. And they used the state of Texas, because it had very little regulation, as, like, a playground for this.
Son of middle-class Jewish parents.
Yeah, yeah. Andy Fastow.
New Providence, New Jersey.
Absolutely a fucking kike. And so they basically made a speculative market in energy futures.
Yes.
Where they were like, well, we don't want to have a grid that essentially continuously distributes power on a predetermined path to the various facilities and homes in the range of where it is. We want to have a predictive market where we'll have people place bets on where energy will be needed most and at what times. And then those people, for their good predictions, will be rewarded with cash because this. And then we'll actually get out of that the typical libertarian argument. Hold on, hold on. The typical libertarian argument of a more efficient and better system. But what happened is they're literally pulling power off the grid and creating rolling blackouts because someone speculates. Because in every speculative market that mm-hmm. Jews are running, they're going to rig it. Even if, first of all, I don't even believe the world works the way they say, which is speculative markets provide best predictions. No. I don't think so, because actually you can't find one where somebody's not gaming the system.
Ask GameStop. So,
exactly right.
GameStop, excuse me.
Speculative markets are prone to being gamed by people that decide to game it.
And in case you're not clear, GameStop's demise, its price decrease in its shares was being engineered by the big players in the markets. It's being engineered by the big investment banks, hedge funds. It was slated. It was being shorted so heavily that it had to go down. And by some miracle, a bunch of internet trolls turned that into a short squeeze.
You know how they did it.
But that's usually that. But this sort of thing happens every day in these markets. That's what speculators do. They don't They don't soften the blow of price fluctuations. Sometimes they create them so that if something is on its last legs, like GameStop, a fucking store in the mall that sells video games, when increasingly you buy a video game, you take the thing home from GameStop, and it's a download code. Hello, you don't need the game store anymore. The game store is on the internet. So this thing's on its last legs. Like, all right, let's short the shit out of it, and let's rape some people on the way down so we can make money as it fails. They engineered that, and it got beaten back. Then that's what speculation is for.
Some people do make a lot of money, but also Jews were heavily fucking involved in that Wall Street bets, too.
I know.
Like, they were involved on both sides.
Counter
dude.
Jews, yeah. But whatever. Like, the main thing, the main practice is...
That fucking kike, Dave Portnoy, from Barstool Sports, is one of the main...
Okay, but you're clouding the message here, is that the market is not free. The speculators are made to create outcomes. The big Jew speculators
are not clouding the message. I'm reiterating it because I'm saying even the Wall Street bets thing was fucking rigged.
Maybe that's the only reason it worked.
It was like, no, but it was rigged because they understood to... No, it was literally rigged. Like, they rigged it. They did. And what they rigged it by everybody planning to make the same move. Like, the Wall Street bets inherently was a rigging of the market. It was self-admittedly so.
Right.
It's self-admittedly so. And a lot of people did make money for that, and good for them, whatever.
Yeah.
But the point is that, like, when it comes to that shit, like that energy market stuff, that is, you're right. That's what's causing the blackouts in California now. So they never stopped. After Enron, they never stopped with
this.
Since
the 90s, yeah.
They never stopped.
They have plenty of power. They just, the speculative markets prices it out and hold back.
This is exactly why, yes, this is a natural monopoly that should be regulated by the state. And they should just be forced to deliver power to wherever it goes. Because
I've got, what's this guy's name? Andrew Fastow. Mm-hmm. I've got his thing up here. So I said he's from middle-class New Jersey Jew family. Deregulation in the U.S. energy markets in the late 1990s provided Enron with trade opportunities, including buying energy from cheap producers and selling it at markets with floating prices. Andrew Fastow was familiar with the market and knowledgeable in how to play it in Enron's favor. This quickly drew the attention of CEO Jeffrey Skilling. Together Kenneth Lay, was constantly concerned with various ways which could keep the company stock price up in spite of the true financial condition of the company. So blah, 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 blah. and a collapse, legal problems at Enron for Mr. Fastow. On October 31st, 2002, Fastow was indicted by a federal grand jury in Houston, Texas on 78 counts, including fraud, money laundering, and conspiracy. On January 14th, 2004, justice moved swiftly. He pleaded guilty to two counts of wire and securities fraud and agreed to serve a 10-year prison sentence. He also agreed to become an informant and cooperate with federal authorities in the prosecutions of other former Enron executives. Yeah, even so though this was his,
put the other guys
this was his scam. His plan, they, yeah. It's like, you got your man's. This was his scam. These other guys just went along with it. They had fucking no idea. So he agreed to in the prosecutions of other Enron executives in order to receive a reduced sentence. Prosecutors were so impressed with his performance, they ultimately lobbied for an either shorter sentence for Fastow. He was sentenced to only 6 years at Oakdale Federal Correction Complex in Oakdale, Louisiana. On May 18, 2011, Fastow was released to a Houston halfway house for the remainder of his sentence.
And he immediately got another job, I'll bet.
So he served basically nothing. He was in a resort in Louisiana. And then he got to go to halfway house.
I'll bet you he's got some. And Jews, like, here's the thing. Going to prison and being a felon doesn't ever hurt rich Jews. They go right back into whatever business they were doing. Get out there.
Life after incarceration. Soon after his release, on December 16, 2011, he began working as a document review clerk for law firm Smizer Kaplan Veselka LLP in Houston.
Another Jewish firm.
Of course.
Since his release, Fastow has worked the public speaking circuit with presentations on ethics and business. Fastow recounts his crimes at Enron and reflects on his guilt. I found every way I could to technically comply with the accounting rules. You fucking guy. It's not my fault. This was fine. I don't know what these.
Well, is he kind of pretending?
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
I need to make a critique of that? Of like,
but what I did was unethical and unprincipled. It caused harm to people. For that, I deserved to go to prison at a very reduced sentence into a low security.
I'd say the least ethical thing you did was actually inform on all the other people too.
Well, he's informing on the people who are just like, it says right up here, like, yeah, I don't know what the hell he was doing, but money was working.
I don't think that's a lie. Like, when they told their defense attorneys, like, I legitimately didn't know what he was doing.
Or was it?
It's like, they're not, you can't really say they're innocent because they were like, well, they're also like, I don't care what he's doing. We're making money. And they also, here's the one thing they were guilty of too, is, and this was when this shit happened, the big critique, there was a huge critique of capitalism that was coming out of a number of circles when this happened, and when it happened to also the company WorldCom at the same time, because it was a critique of the practice of executives of the company who are heavily invested in the company's stock, like they have a lot of it, focusing on short-term stock gains rather than an overall health of the company.
Oh my God.
And this was the critique of both of these, and they found like both of these companies were doing scams to keep the stock price high because that way their executive compensation was high. And now there was some people that were coming in like, yeah, oh yeah, but their holdings are monitored and their sales, and like if they sell really, they can only sell X amount, but whatever the fuck it is, I don't fucking know. But this was the major critique. But the thing is, again, even after the Enron WorldCom scandal, which was a big news item in the early 2000s when this shit broke, they just kept doing it. Companies just kept doing it. Like there, the SEC and the government was like, we're going to do some regulations to put the stop to this. They never put a stop to it. Companies still do it. It just doesn't make the media anymore. It's still basic practice, compensating with stocks, and then short-term stock price gets It would be better.
Fezzi, does somebody have a problem with their energy company?
And you know what? Here's the other thing. Now, here's what libertarians
said. You're defrauding
said.
The market, Enronny.
Here's what libertarians
said. Enron and Fez.
Here's what libertarians said. They said this perverse incentive for companies to behave like this is based around leftist agitation about differential in CEO and worker pay. So leftists come out and they say, wow, the CEO is making 1,000 times the average employee of the company. That's fundamentally unfair. So in order to avoid this PR boondoggle, the companies would lower CEO salaries and then give them lots of stock as compensation. And then that perverts their incentives to make the stonk price. But again, I'm like, hey, maybe capitalism just isn't this brilliant system. Like, this is kind of what I'm concluding after all of these boondoggles keep happening. I'm like, maybe, like, there's just a problem with capitalism that none of you want to actually admit.
Why is it that whenever they discuss efficiency, they never actually admit that efficiency gives you – there's a trade-off between efficiency and having redundancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they will never tell you that. Like, having an oversupply of something, being a little inefficient, doing it a little too well, that's actually good. It gives you the margin for error.
There's also a trade-off
power
between
– generation. Like,
there's also values that can be inserted here. What about fairness?
Define fairness.
I think everyone understands what fairness is.
We're gonna define efficiency, like
right. Yeah, if we're gonna be taught, if we're gonna challenge people to define concepts that people effectively already understand what they mean.
Listen, Bob Iger is in the middle of like Disney, a profitability collapse. Share price is collapsing. The attendance is down at the parks, and every movie and project they're doing is just costing hundreds of millions and bombing. And like fairness would be. Like, he wouldn't be able to make $20 million worth of renovations on his mansion right now. But you call that fair? I'm Bob Iger. I'm overseeing the downfall of the biggest media company in the world, and you're telling me I can't make $20 million of renovations on my
really
mansion right now?
Is it really downfalling, or are you just
describing
absorbing
to me
too much?
Sounds inefficient.
I'm just going face value what's happened. I mean, they lost $1 billion at the box office in the last year.
No, I'm happy to
but
see
it's
it.
Like, but it's just funny, like, while all that's happening, and the writers and the actors are all on strike. Like he's not buying like a $20 million mansion. He's renovating his mansion to the tune of $20 million. So his salary and his compensation is like high enough for like in while my company's losing $1 billion, I am renovating my. You know, maybe there's something wrong fundamentally with this entire system.
I want to examine something here for a second. All right, so it would be bad and inefficient if the government ran the power grid and they're just building power plants for the fucking hell of it, employing people to man those power plants. They don't even need them. You know, it's a government boondoggle. Oh, we got these extra power plants and paying people salaries. That would be bad. It'd be inefficient. But it's okay if you have private industries where they have these boondoggles where they waste billions of dollars on bullshit.
Right, you've got it. If you privately waste billions of dollars, you're
that's
in the clear.
Well, because the company
here, my water?
Because the company that wastes that billions of dollars will be punished by the market, right? And then the next company that comes along won't make that same mistake. So it's like a constant learning experience, right? That's how. I mean, the funny thing is, this is the story they'll tell you. I'm like, yeah, but again, I have to ask: has this ever happened? Do you have empirical evidence of this theory? I mean, they get so mad when you ask them, like, well, it's logically true. It has to be true.
Logic trap, bro.
No, but it doesn't have to be true.
And it's not.
Nothing has to be true. You've got to fucking prove it. If you're telling me that under a system of free markets, people that fuck up are punished and people that do it better are rewarded, you've got to prove that.
You know what actually happens? Companies that fuck up
are rewarded.
It's not that they're rewarded. They can avoid a loss of market share or any kind of, like, first of all, the boycott action usually doesn't happen, but they can avoid this by gobbling up other companies smaller than them and merging and combining into large mega capital. Like, that's like, I'm looking at my fake Les Paul over here. The Gibson Corporation has merged with so many guitar and retail related.
That's not a Les Paul anymore because of that?
Well, no, that's just a Chinese.
I'm saying they don't actually produce Les Pauls anymore.
Oh, they do, but it's just like what they do.
No, but I mean, they're just calling them Les Pauls. Sorry,
totally
lost. Yeah, sorry, I was trying to.
I'm saying like they do such a bad job at everything they do, but they can't be taken down because they can just swallow up another company that's kind of mediocre, and they just have this massive market share where it's like, what do you? It's like you can't buy something that's not affiliated with Gibson in some way in the market, really. is the way that is what they do in general.
Let's find an example, because it would be very tempting to just point out the obvious, like, well, the government just bails you out if your company gets to a certain size and runs into financial problems.
That doesn't always happen, though. But here's the other thing.
There's an internal contradiction. Here's one of my favorites. Innovation. Under this libertarian free market ideology, the theory is if you innovate and you create something really cool, you can outcompete other companies. But that's not what happens. Even in a free market system, what happens is you create something really cool and a big corporation comes along and buys you out.
Or they just
swallows you.
Or they just copy what you're doing.
Or they just steal it from you. Something you can do. Or when a new technology is coming out, like with the internet, this is probably the best example. This new technology, and much of it was public domain, open source. People under, there was no real ownership of this idea of the internet and the web is the government. It was actually a government project, originally a Defense Department project, and then the idea of hypertext HTML was invented at CERN, which is another government laboratory. So this whole thing is getting big, and lots of people are getting in there, and they're coming up with stuff. But the company that ultimately won big was Google, because it was run by two Jews who secured all the money and investment from Wall Street. Wall Street, essentially, there was a lot of things before Google came out. There was Excite, there was Yahoo, AltaVista, Lycos, all these things. Google comes out, and it was run by two kikes, and all the investment Jews. So here's the thing. Why is it better for a cabal of investment bankers who are hand in glove with the Federal Reserve System to pick the winners instead of just the state picking the winners? I mean, it's effectively the same thing right now. So we have this is the other thing that really rubs people the wrong way. And what used to cause so much striker A-logging from like people with conservative and libertarian priors, they just couldn't get over it. He would like haunt their dreams, because he would say, you live in a planned economy too. Mm-hmm. Don't pretend that you don't. And don't pretend it. And don't pretend like a non-planned economy is possible. Every economy is planned. This economy is planned. That's why, we are sort of struggling to think, what is the plan with the obviously planned rollout of electric vehicles? I'm not sure what it is, but it's definitely a plan, right? You can't say that's not a plan. That is a plan.
Right.
And so you live in a planned economy. And they're like, I got into an argument with someone once, and they were like, when I think planned economy.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio and how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall?
I mean, I'm thinking like the Soviet Union, literally telling the grocery store how many steaks or heads of lettuce.
Yeah,
or
when
whatever.
I think of an average American with a opinion, I think a retard.
But I'm thinking like I'm like, yeah, but here's the problem. One, I don't even know if that was actually how the Soviet Union did it. And two, that seems to be a line drawing. Like, you're drawing a line at a very extreme point and saying anything short of that is not. It's like, no. If the American economy allows like an individual grocery store to stock its own shelves, that doesn't make the economy less planned. Like, if the CEO of Wegmans isn't saying, like, on aisle 6, you're going to have, like, 10 bags of Utz chips or something like that. Like,
because a monopolistic food producer is basically dictating how the market works.
Whoa,
what do you
mean? Yeah,
that's fine,
thing.
Though.
He's in competition, time. Alex. What are you talking about?
Right, so my point...
He's not!
No, they're not. My point is that, like... That
people,
like
people have a lot of imaginary assumptions about how the market works because they've just been told a bunch of ideological points and not.
Well, because all
any,
of their arguments stem
they don't know anything
from
about how
an individual's
works.
Experience of buying and selling.
Right.
You feel
so the thing with the competition, right? Because they want to believe that there's like a, some sort of idea of perfect competition, but you only can ever achieve really perfect competition if it's highly fucking regulated.
You know, like, what perfect competition is? It's literally like a gladiator fight,
right?
It's just two guys trying to kill each other. There's no
force,
and the stronger one will win. Okay, that's a perfect competition.
I hate to quote this faggot, but Peter Thiel's book, I think it was called Zero to One. I remember reading that, and he explained a situation where competition was terrible for the public. It was when X.com and PayPal.
Well, it was really terrible for him, but yeah.
Two companies trying to create the exact same service and convenience for the public.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of working together to just get this thing rolled out, like these two are like, they get to the point where they're plotting to like bomb each other's offices. Because think about it, you have two companies that are constantly trying to, they both have the same idea, they both have the same technology. All they have available is to like undercut one another. And what could that result in? A company going out of business, people losing their jobs, and the product not being out there anymore. So that's another outcome you can get from. And it wasn't until they decided to, they merged, and then suddenly, like, now you have this wonderful panacea of PayPal that can shut you down for having the wrong opinions about the 2020 election.
Well, this is what's funny, is that Peter Thiel...
Now there's a monopoly that can shut you down based on what you...
Peter Thiel like a conservative and even a libertarian, but in his own book, he's like, I hate competition. And it's also like, look at the guy who's actually a fucking billionaire. Now...
I just thought it was an interesting example of like, to make you change your thinking. Like, here's competition hurting the public. And it's true.
But he's right. And he, remember, he's a billionaire.
Yes.
So his attitude is not, like, even though he poses as a libertarian, his actual way of viewing the economy is that of a plan.
Yeah, if someone had planned.
Which accrues a lot of wealth to him.
If someone had planned, like, one company to handle, like, digital currency transactions all over the internet, we could have avoided this early nation period of losses and stress.
And if the government had stepped in and said, since you have monopolistic control over this service, you must deliver it to all citizens without prejudice.
That never happens. Would that be socialism?
They did that with telecom.
If I was telling,
why didn't they do it with banking?
That's the thing about, like, you mentioned Stryker a logging while I was taking a leak, and nothing makes me laugh more than Stryker a logging, because the people that a log Stryker and that make like memes of him with like communist flags and like oldie style like commie propaganda images of him. It's like he would say, like, all right, the state's going to step in and tell PayPal that they have to respect the First Amendment and not deny services to anyone else. They would like scream that that's communism, that's socialism. You're planning the economy, and you're telling a company what to do. You think the government can run this company better than the company itself can? It's like, well, weren't you just banned from PayPal last week? And yeah, but at least the their freedoms.
Dude,
is like,
I had this exact argument with JF when I was on his show. Now,
you make,
to
PayPal,
his credit,
PayPal's purpose is to make PayPal baby.
Well, to his credit,
and PayPal baby goes into marketplace and manipulates market.
After I made the argument, we had the conversation. He said, "Well, I hesitate to say the government should ever tell a company what to do, but." And then I was like, "Well, let me explain." I gave my argument. He's like, "It's very difficult." He basically conceded the argument. I don't know if he incorporated that into his worldview and he now makes the same argument.
I don't know.
But he conceded that he couldn't argue against what I was saying.
Well, there's certain arenas you're going to naturally have a monopoly, right? Like power.
Yeah.
Power is the obvious one because we don't want to have 15
power
companies.
They even call it a natural monopoly.
Yeah, natural monopolies. You don't want to have multiple power lines running up and down the street. It would just not be practical. Same thing with telecommunications. So if it's going to be a natural monopoly, it might as well be run by the government and might as well be accountable directly to the citizens.
The worst one
regarding
that is when you have multiple power companies. They don't have more than one set of lines going up and down the street. They have one set, and it's like, even if you decide, like, oh, I'm changing energy providers this year, like, their energy is delivered to you over the monopolistic company's infrastructure. So you're still paying, you're just paying two different companies for your power now.
That's just that bidding shit.
That's what this is. That's
what
we have.
That shit comes that, like, they bid for the use of the grid.
And they have
like,
the gall to pretend that you have a market. You have a choice in the market. It's like, basically what I've usually seen is like you have a choice to pay through the nose for a company that works harder to claim that it's green in some way. That's usually how it turns out. At least in New York, that's how it was. It's like, oh, if you pay like double your price per kilowatt hour, all your power will be generated from like from fucking bird farts on a wind farm. Like, wow, thanks.
That's we could do that. We could do bird fart energy. I mean, why not?
No, it's just like I want to set like a small brush fire, and that's going to be my energy source. I'm still for like you know, backyard fracking. I should be allowed to pull my own natural gas.
Frack my own backyard. Yeah.
Frack my own crust. Fuck your small fracking.
You're running into some property rights. Here's another question for these libertarians. Like, how far down in the Earth's crust does my property right extend?
All the way out to the other side. I own a piece of China.
Dude, libertarians used to have arguments about this.
Oh, they're going to say they used to have, like, herpes. I think they still do.
And here's the thing. Here's what happened. This is I'm actually enjoying this conversation. This is a lot of fun. Here's what they would say. Because the question wasn't so much how far down into the earth, but I guess that it would be how far up can you go?
How much of the firmament do I own?
And here's how they solved it. Here's what they would do.
Shit.
So they would say, like, well, basically, your ownership of the sky above your plot of land should really only extend to the point where you have the capability to homestead
the sky.
Yes, to homestead the air. So the question would be
like smoke and poison?
So I'm like, well, my ability to actually put stuff and install things or use the space above my house, it doesn't really extend that much more than maybe a few feet above the roof, really, if you think about it, right? Like, what can I really put up there? How much can I really use that, right?
Now, I love this. I got the ultimate problem.
I've got the problem too. So the thing is, then theoretically, like an airline could fly a plane like just a few feet over my house without violating any of my rights, right?
What if I had a?
But then I'm like, but no. Here, I'm going to homestead all this guy because my personal enjoyment of that beautiful blue sky is me homesteading, me making it my personal use.
What if I had a wheel in the sky that kept on turning?
I want the sky directly in a column straight up from my house to be free. I want to be able to enjoy even light pollution. I need to be able to see the stars just in a column directly above my house. I'm homesteading all of it.
It's a wedge.
And American Airlines and United and the U.S. military that want to fly shit above my home need to all pay me.
And in this discussion, we libertarians can avoid ever talking about anything in the real world that actually happens.
I know that's the main point of it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But let me get my little thought experiment out real fast. Okay, I'm a rich libertarian, and I'm really into amateur radio. So I build an enormous radio tower and I shoot it straight upwards. Right. I mean, it's fucking tall. And then I paint the thing blue.
So you can't see it. What about on cloudy days?
So if a plane crashes into that thing, who the fuck is liable?
The plane. Well, that's
well. You just get to sue everyone.
You're gonna have to contact your local, you know,
your local private arbitration service.
Your local private insurance company that runs your town. It's not a government.
Now remember, I'm not putting blinking lights on that thing. That'd be an infringement on my rights as libertarian. There's going to be no blinking lights.
Yeah, there's no regulation. There's no requirement for you to do that. Yeah. However, here's how this issue would be solved. The group of people who put...
Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption. Not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders. You can use crypto. You can use e-checks. You can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spends Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
Towers on their roof painted blue going into the troposphere.
They should have to have blue
will
tower
eventually
insurance.
Become more efficient at this after they lose money when planes run into them. So they'll naturally want to put warning lights on them. Because their incentive is going to be not to have their tropospheric radio tower destroyed by passing planes.
Once this takes place, once you've...
How many air disasters do we have to get to that point?
Once the blue roof tower people have achieved this level of enlightenment... Hold on. Once the blue roof tower people have achieved this level of market enlightenment, and they're putting blinking lights on their towers, once they have the blinking lights in their blue towers, now if a plane hits it, they can sue the airline. You saw my fucking blinking lights. What are you, stupid? Now you really can start raking in the dough, because it's probably going to get hit anyway, and you can make it everybody else's
dough.
Fault. Dough?
Don't you mean gold or cryptocurrencies?
Fucking right. Dough. Yeah, because cryptocurrencies aren't fiat.
Oh, man.
That's a hard asset.
What you guys are describing is a really efficient system. This is highly efficient. This is a really good way to shake things out, is to have multiple air disasters before we figure out that people should put blinking lights on their towers.
Ow. I just hit my tooth on the microphone.
Well, I don't know if we need to have... Ooh, yeah, watch out.
I wanted to move it with my chin, but I laughed.
No, here's the thing. Maybe it just takes one, but, you know, at the end, all of this... And remember, also, the other thing here is non-market-oriented institutions are incapable of learning. Because the only way you learn is whether you make money or not.
So... Basic, but like a non-market, but like a non-market entity, like what do they call it? What's the broadcast one? Not the FEC.
FCC.
FCC. If the FCC says you need to put blinky lights on your towers, like they're just getting to the conclusion without the air disasters.
Correct.
Are they oracles?
Yeah, because they're not doing empirical research.
They've planned your economy to avoid the air disasters.
Well, that's an ethical violation.
We have to have ethics in airborne disasters.
Yeah, all of this needs
we have
to
learn
be
organically
from learning
from
on
plane
the market
crashes.
from the market process of becoming more efficient.
So if you try to make a market regulation without a bunch of people dying needlessly to teach you the lesson, that's socialism.
In fact, even if you had the intuition that maybe you should put a light on it, you shouldn't do it until you definitely know.
You need the air disaster
because if you put
a flashing light on your tower, you could be bothering your neighbors.
But not only that,
no,
it's just an extra cost. Hold on. It could be inefficient, because if you don't need it, it's an extra cost that you didn't need to spend to put a light there. So as a result, you would be wasting resources by putting. So you must not do it. You must do the bare minimum and see what happens. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you will be not have streamlined efficiency because you could accidentally put a blinking light up there, would just be an extra cost.
Is the blinking
everybody,
light? Is the blinking
and
light
the
sky
harm
tower,
to society? Yeah.
Is the blinking light sky tower? Is it cashless, or we're using paper bills and hard coins for our costs here?
Statistically, the sky blue tower probably won't be hit by air traffic for the most part. So, yeah, I don't think you need the blinking light, do you?
No.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. Until a plane hits it.
Right, my point. You don't know. You shouldn't. It would be unethical
to reduce a cost
without knowing you need to do it. Yeah.
It stands to reason that a thing up in the air would get hit by a plane.
Logically, don't assume it, though, my friend.
No, that's deductive.
Oh, fuck.
No, yeah.
We're doing induction here.
Ah, shit. I never knew the difference.
Wait, no.
I just figured
something out. It's not. You're wrong. Isn't because it? The idea that something might hit something is based on previous experience of something hitting something. It's not logical at all that it would necessarily happen. That's in inductive reasoning. So, no, actually, you're wrong. Inductive reasoning is what's unethical. Only deductive reasoning is ethical. That's a libertarian position.
Shit.
It cannot be based on real world. They only logic.
That's true. That is true.
Guys were talking about cashless economy and striking.
Yeah, let's go back. Let's talk about this. Yeah,
well, we should plan an entire economic system around the.
This is like inductio absurdium.
Well, let Alex say his thing. What were you saying?
Basically, I was just saying that we should definitely construct our entire economic system and worldview around this sort of libertarian free market ideology. This is a really robust set of ideas.
Yeah, the one I was going to bring up was the cashless society you guys were talking about, and Mike said that his mother was, when she was doing her master's, PhD, like, was asked by a professor, like, the class or whatever, like, what percentage of transactions in America are done in cash, and apparently the answer was 2%.
Yeah, this is her econ class, and she guessed 2%.
Which, again, you got to ask, like, well, if the point of a cashless, of cash transactions is nobody knows nothing, so it's like, how do they know, but whatever.
Best guess.
So they did that with COVID, right?
That was one of the marks of the beast they were going to do.
That's how they got you, is with the COVID thing. Everything went cashless.
But the thing with like cashless society, like their fear about the cashless society, is like if there's no cash, the anarcho-capitalist can't engage in like tax evasion, drug sales.
They can't sell drugs.
They can't sell illegal guns and like basically all the crimes that they want to do.
Oh man,
they're not won't be available anymore. And also like just like basically it's just for tax evasion. It's like if I can't take cash on the side, I might actually have to pay.
And drug dealing.
Yeah.
And it's not both, paying taxes on your drug profits.
Yeah, it's both. Yeah.
That's why they embrace Bitcoin right away, even though cryptocurrencies are like fiats because they're just like they're literally limited. Bitcoin is just runs up against a hard limit.
Right.
I guess they like that. They like hard limits.
Libertarians are just another group of people that have a set of crimes that they want to commit that they think are actually ethical and shouldn't be crimes.
Right. I mean,
just a lot of them are sex crimes.
You know, ultimately, everyone just started calling it narco-capitalism because the whole point of it, was really just drug dealers justifying like drug dealing.
Also, sex work.
Yes, that's the other. Yeah, yeah.
Fucking.
Yeah. So,
it's like, how are you supposed to pay like the illegal sex worker if there's no such thing as cash?
The real reason they embrace crypto is just another way to do drug deals.
She have like a. Instead of a tramp stamp, she has like a fucking QR code. It's her Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah.
That's how you pay the hooker.
Now, here's something.
Here's
something I wanted to ask. This is actually something I'm not sure about. So I'm going to go off into just a little thing here.
Okay.
One of the things that they're very much against, and I can see why, but I'm also wondering if there might be other issues that might be beneficial, is the idea of government-issued cryptocurrencies. Like, in other words, a U.S. dollar cryptocurrency issued by the U.S. government.
What's the point of it being cryptocurrency?
Well, here's the point is not that it... The thing is, well, because cryptocurrency doesn't mean crypto in terms of, like, hidden. It means cryptographic in terms of how new units of the currency are unlocked. Like, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency, not because, like, crypto has multiple meanings. It's not because,
you can counterfeit crypto Bitcoin by just making your own coin. People do it all the time,
right? But those things don't work.
Well, they might fight a few suckers who lose their shirt speculating.
That's
on
the
them.
Whole point of that. The whole so, like why the is whole...
that allowed? That's viewed as like being totally on the up and up, like literal. Like I'm going to create my own fiat.
Well, that's actually fucking blackjack the stupid libertarian ideology in play. Like every fucking came out of the new token scam, and it was all based. They weren't even new coins. They were just Ethereum tokens. They didn't even come up with a
which
new
is
thing.
The gayest coin.
It's literally fucking homosexual.
I have Ethereum. Never seen more crypto fuck ups with our paywall system as with Ethereum.
We just don't do it anymore.
We took it down because like it
I
was like
my the image the off the
contract failed. It's like no shit, the contract failed because there's an
dude,
extra step,
dude. It's crypto. You know why Ethereum sucks? Because Ethereum, even more than Bitcoin, is like an attempt to create libertarian ideology in currency form. It's literally based on the idea of like the whole smart contracts thing. And the funniest thing that ever happened in the Ethereum world, is that someone wrote clever enough code to just make everybody give them their Ethereum. Like, the
contract was totally valid.
Yeah, it was valid. It passed all the validators, and the code ran on the blockchain, or however it works.
There was no one there to use
force.
It
just accrued a bunch, and here's what happened, is that all these people were like, wait, where's my Ethereum? And they're like, well, you know, and the people that did it were like, well, you guys can't bitch. Our code was legal. It worked. It passed. It ran. And it just what it did was it accrued all this Ethereum to us. We basically took everybody's money. And people were like, no, that's not fair. I expected to have this money. So they actually had to have a centralized solution where they came in and they just wrote code to take it back and put it back to where it all was. And
if you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it, because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription, and then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm feeling it or something.
There were purists, and frankly, I sided with the purists.
Because fuck them.
I was like, no, because fuck your whole gay thing. Yeah. Like, these people scammed you. Fuck your small contracts. Because I was like, no. Now, if I had been an Ethereum holder that was robbed like this, I would be mad, and I would want a centralized institution to come in and make me whole. But my thing is like, no. All you fucking people knew what you were doing. Or if you didn't, you were dumb enough to get into something not knowing what you're doing.
That is the most libertarian thing that can happen. Like, you engineer these free market ideological beliefs, and you create systems that just ends up robbing you blind.
And well you create a system.
Worse than your government you live under could ever possibly come across.
It happened with Mt. Gox?
Gox.
It happened with fucking Ethereum. Now, my thing is this. What the fuck else are we talking about?
I don't know. We're just talking
Ethereum is fucking homosexual. And more than anything else, Ethereum is based on, and like, that's why I don't want to touch it, and I hope it fails, because it's fucking gay as hell. And I'm just not. We're not going to ever take it because it's too fucking dumb. The way it works is also retarded. Bitcoin is actually the best.
The only other
currency,
the only
it literally
other bad,
works the best. The only other is that it's slow.
The only other bad coin is XMR because it's so private that if you tell me you made a mistake, how am I supposed to look it up? It's private.
Mm-hmm. The only thing you can do is you can check if we actually have.
Yeah, I sent you one of those yesterday. I have no idea.
Oh. Well, it's the only thing is, like, waiting
like,
for
how
the
am I supposed to know?
Waiting for the XMR blockchain like waiting fucking for update is really annoying. Or update on my GUI. But,
so private, you can't even double check that you got
it. But I wanted to get back to the idea of central bank crypto digital currencies. They're calling them like CDCs, like, or CBDCs. I don't know, whatever.
They're just copes.
Anyway,
just call them copes.
The idea is, but hold on a second. I don't know if they are, because I think that there are governments that are planning the idea of rolling something like this out. Now, the point being made is this is all part of surveillance capitalism, that they're going to be able to look at every fucking transaction you do. Right?
Which defeats the original purpose, which was to sell drugs on the internet.
Right. And like I said, but remember, the crypto part of cryptocurrency isn't actually intended to mean you can be crypto in your activities with it. It means that cryptography, mathematical computer cryptography, is how like codes connect and unlock. You know, it's basically the same thing as if you log in SSH. You just have a fucking cryptographic handshake. It's like, okay, this is valid now. It's there. It works, right? That's what it's called, cryptocurrency. But many people didn't get that, and they thought I meant crypto. Like, oh, I can be clandestine with my activities.
Not clandestine coin.
Yeah, clandestine currency. Clandestine currency. But so my question is, central bank digital currencies could potentially be a way to make it so if every institution would, in theory, have to take said currency because it'd be government-issued currency. You know, you're required under U.S. law to take dollars for debts. Like, you can't, if you're owed money, you can't be like, I don't want those dollars. You actually, this is all debts, you know, it's legal. You have to take it. So the question then would be, if it works the way, you know, I don't know how it would work. It could be really bad, but it could be also like pasta, and this might be a reason why they would never do it, like some kind of democratic innovation where you wouldn't be able to deny financial services, because if it's a currency and you can control your own wallet, like you can with Bitcoin, and it has to be valid because it's issued by the currency issuing authority, the government or the central bank, and you can send
in legal tender.
If it's legal tender, and if you can control your own wallet and send and receive the way you can with like Bitcoin or Dogecoin or whatever, then I could see it being good, because then it would be like, well, you would not be, it would be that effectively making it impossible to deny people banking services. Now, this is just a theory. It's unlikely our government would institute something like that, but I also don't see that it would necessarily be some kind of Mark of the Beast thing where everything would be worse than it was before. Now, the thing is, I think people in our community would probably be reluctant to get on board with it because the idea would be the government would be able to track every transaction.
I mean,
but my contention has always been to people that generally people that are worried about getting like caught, getting a TRS subscription or something like that, are worried like the media or somebody's going to get a hold of it.
Well, that's like years of Chan gaslighting.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Much of that is based on
the seed
actual
of
bad actors that just don't want you to support this network.
Did anything happen to the people? NJP? Remember when Red Ice had a leak of all their like nothing?
I don't think anything happened.
Nothing happened to anybody.
Also, remind you, we've never had a leak, and like there's literally not a single person in the history
knocking
of
on
the world who has been doxxed based on getting a TRS subscription. That has never happened. The fucking detractors, the haters, the A-logs, the fucking feds, the fucking bots, the fucking Hasbro trolls, the JIDF, whoever it is, the 4chan retards, have been predicting some massive issue.
They don't predict it. They say that it's happened before.
Oh, yeah, now they're that. Now
they just say, like, oh, every 2 years, the whole thing, like, it's never leaked once.
It's never, yeah. And then the problem is, this is another problem with unregulated things. People can just lie. Like, these people go out, and they just, like, they're, and it's happening from another country. Like, think about this. Remember we watched that documentary, The Lobby, where that Jewish student at UC Davis was literally creating portfolios on pro-Palestine students at UC Davis and handing them over to fucking agents of Mossad. Yep. She's met in a coffee shop with some Mossad agent and gives them or her like a portfolio of all, here's all the pro-Palestine students at UC Davis, literally giving them to a foreign intelligence agency. Like, this is the kind of shit that effectively is happening, where you have Israel, which is like the biggest internet troll farm in the world. You know, they always talk about these Russian troll farms. The biggest troll farm in the world is fucking Israel. And so much of this and so much IT shit is in Israel, and all these bots and these bot farms coming in to like troll everything. And like, you know, people have done empirical tests where they go on 4chan and they type like TRS or Mike Enoch and they just watch the fucking threads fill up with shit. It's bot shit. And there's some real people that get involved in it, but there's a lot of shit. But think about this. Think about it. Also, Andrew Torba. He tried to, now, whatever your issues with Gab, like, he should theoretically be allowed to do this, right? What he wants to do. Yet, his business that he's built to let people say whatever the fuck they want on the internet, he's got, like, feds going to, like, fuck, why are they allowed to fucking do this? And then a foreign government is doing it, and our government's not protecting. It's fucking outrageous. They're literally coming in to just, like, disrupt your shit. And I think people don't, they kind of are so used to this almost laissez-faire attitude, they don't understand what an actual outrage this is. That people, we have never done anything illegal or violent or even thought about doing that. We simply come on this radio show and we say what the fuck we think, and it pisses some people off. And with the NJP, we go out and we get in people's faces and we do protests. All this shit is constitutionally protected. Our birthright from living in this country. We were born in this country. This is our birthright to do all this shit. Yet every fucking kike institution, even including a foreign country, is putting their little fucking agents all over the place to fuck with us. It's actually a moral outrage that this happens.
It is.
It is a moral outrage that this happens, and everybody should be pissed about it. And people just say, oh, yeah, for all these people unfortunate. They shouldn't be allowed to do it. They should be fucking shot.
People say that, like,
the people organizing this stuff should go to jail and be executed.
They say it's good that we get fucked with because we're messing with the, like, look what we just spent an hour doing. Breaking down their comfy, like, Jewish ideological priors about letting big business get away with murder. You're telling people that, like, letting big business get away with murder is actually a bad thing? That's terrible. I want to live in a world that's a good thing because I might get, like, a crumb of getting away with murder one day. I might be able to evade taxes, or I might be able to get one over on somebody and fuck them over. One day I might get rich by screwing part of the market over, and you can't stop me because ethically it's in line with that Walter Block said so. I did something indefensible, and I got ahead.
And I'm not just talking about people, like, people, individuals. that say stuff about us. I don't give a fuck what any individual says. I'm talking about like in a state organizing people, yeah. intelligence agencies organizing people, my own government organizing people to suppress my rights and using things like bots, using, you know, paid informants or just agents or troll farms, like organized efforts on behalf of states, intelligence agencies, foreign interests to suppress our right. Because their aim is not simply to offer criticism in the market of ideas. We'll win that fight every time.
Yeah.
Their aim is to shut you down.
Right.
Their aim is to shut us down, to make us go. And that's outrageous. That shouldn't be allowed. Now, I'm going to say one other thing before we go to break here. Now, a lot of people hate this fucking guy. It kind of connects. A lot of people hate this guy. They don't like his takes, and he's kind of...
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
Kind of cringe. Ooh. Which is Coach Red Pill. Oh. So have you seen what's been happening with him?
Yeah, he's been let out, but...
So...
Did they capture him?
Yes,
again?
Supposedly they got
so
him.
They let him out, so they let him out to capture him again.
I'm going
to
start. I'm going to tell the story from the beginning. So he's went to Ukraine probably for sex tourism. I don't know. Maybe, but you know, who knows? He was always doing that game shit. He was in that libertarian skeptic community.
The red pill there is about picking up girls.
His red pill was about picking up, which a lot of people interpreted as the red pill back in the day. That was
really gay.
Red pilled on women.
They're from fucking.
I'm like, what's the red pill on women? Like, what, they're... I mean, what is it? Like, the red pill on women that they always spread is, like, be mean to them and they'll like you. It's like, I'm not sure if that's necessarily really what's going on there. But, oh, by the way, real quick. Stryker told the biggest lie he has ever told on the show yesterday.
Oh, no.
He said that he was a misogynist. And I was like...
Like he rubs people's shoulders?
No. I was like, that you are like the biggest woman respecter I know, bro. Like, what are you talking about? And he was saying because he expects women to like cook and clean. I mean, no, that's just normal. That's just normal. Expecting women to cook and clean is just that's just normal.
I don't think he knows what misogynist means. Misogynist
he was using a very feminist definition of misogyny. I was like, no. On the actual scale of misogyny, you are a woman.
I think
what
he meant to say is I'm a chauvinist.
Yes. Well, what he meant to say is I actually see male and female roles as fairly well defined and based in nature and sort of intuitive. And I was like, yeah, that's misogyny according to like Jewish second wave feminism. But based on in today's internet realm, like you're actually probably you're well into woman respecting territory, my friend. But in any case. What the fuck was I talking about?
Stryker being a misogynist.
No, that was the traction for. Oh, I was talking about Coach Red Pill. So Coach Red Pill,
right,
he goes. He was living in Ukraine when the war starts. He was doing videos critical of the Zelensky government, kind of pro Russia, supporting the Russian war effort while being in Ukraine. You could argue that that's dumb. And I guess maybe it was illegal in Ukraine, or they passed like some martial law shit in Ukraine. That's the other thing. Ukraine is a democracy. That country is under like brutal martial law. In any case, they arrested him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out incommunicado for like a week or two or something. They let him go. He comes back.
And tortured him in prison. They let other prisoners torture him.
This is, you're skipping ahead. I'm talking about the first arrest. Now, then he kind of did a couple videos to tell people he was back. I'm not sure if he continues to do videos. I kind of lost interest. I never really was that interested in his content.
Yeah.
Although there was one video he did right before he got arrested that was very good, where he was actually criticizing like the entire Ukrainian regime and their connections directly to the neocons in America. And he was just saying this is all a Jewish plot. He was basically just, they're all Jews. He's like, they're stealing this country. Their whole objective is to steal this country, to loot this country, is for a global power domination scheme, and yes, they're all Jews. He was just openly saying all this stuff. I'm not sure if that was before or after his arrest. Maybe it was after he got out. But according to what he said yesterday or the day before, after that arrest, they gave him back his passport. They gave him back everything that he had when he was arrested, and they were like, don't leave the country.
Oh.
So that's why he didn't leave. Because I was like, why the fuck didn't you just get out after you got released from jail the first time? And then a year later, they come and they arrest him again. Right. This time he was incommunicado for like months.
Yeah.
He pops up again yesterday or the day before making a video saying, I've been released.
He's trying to defect to Hungary.
He says this. He says, I've been released. He's like, I was tortured in prison. Other prisoners were encouraged by the guards to beat me. The guards didn't intervene. The prisoners that were beating me up even told me this. They literally said, yeah, we were kind of told just to beat the shit out of you. And so we're going to do it. And like, oh, all right. I guess that's going to happen. And what he said was like, but when they released me, you know, they told me they weren't going to give me my passport. They told me they weren't going to give me any documents and that they were going to put an ankle monitor on me and I was going to be forced to go back to court in whenever, right?
Oh, okay.
Then he's like, but they didn't put an ankle monitor on me. They gave me back my passport. They gave me back everything I had again. And what he said was in jail, a prisoner told him that when they gave him back all of his documents and said, don't leave Ukraine, they were surreptitiously sending a message to like get the fuck out of the country. And he just didn't pick up on it because there's some weird thing with their culture, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But he was living in a Western country. He took it, you know, coming from Western countries, he took it literally when they said don't leave. But I'm like, you shouldn't have. Even if they said don't leave, you should have left. If you felt you had an opportunity, you should have left. So then what he does is this is where I think he maybe made an error, but maybe not. So he then, after he's not given an ankle monitor, he's got his money, he's got his cash and his passport back, he starts making his way to the Hungarian border. And then he says, while still on Ukrainian territory, he goes on Twitter and he makes a thread and then he put out a video. He's saying, I plan to cross into Hungary and try to get political asylum because I'm being tried on a political trial in Ukraine. And if I'm found guilty, they're going to send me to a labor camp where I'll probably die. And I'm like, bro, shouldn't you get to Hungary first before you put videos out?
Well, he did the whole, if you don't hear from me in 12 hours, I've been captured.
Right. What I didn't realize then is he actually filmed that video while waiting in line at the border to get into Hungary.
Okay.
And I think his idea was to have that out there.
In case.
To put pressure, possibly to encourage people to put pressure on various governments.
Okay.
And I think had he made it into Hungary, he probably would have been able to at least be detained by Hungarian authorities and plead his case to them that, like, look, if I go back to Ukraine, they're going to kill me. And based on European Convention on Human Rights, it's a free speech case, political case, you kind of have to harbor me. I'm like, nigga, you should have gone to Belarus. Like, that's where you should have tried, or Russia. You should have tried to cross into Russia or Belarus. Now, I can only imagine the borders of Russia and Ukraine are probably impossible to cross. I don't know about Belarus. I mean, these are wide borders. But my thing is this. I don't have to like everything Coach Red Pill has ever said.
This dude is wearing fake tits now.
Of course. Yeah. That dude just gets more freaky. This dude is like now an official spokesman.
You should be wearing a fake thumb, as I recall.
This dude is now...
There's a reason you haven't heard from Gonzalo Lira yet with his so-called attempts at asylum in Hungary. It's because the state security services, better known as the SBU, are some of the most talented and focused law enforcement agents.
The fucking Monty Python crew makes for more.
And in doing so, they knew where Gonzalo Lira was.
Realistic female.
There's a reason.
I don't even pick up what it's trying to say.
Well, given the fact that they released the guy from jail, I don't think it takes that much for them to. Yo, guess what, guys? An Eastern Europe, Eastern European criminal state has a fucking effective secret police apparatus. You'll never believe it. This criminal government actually has the ability, actually has like a totalitarian lockdown on the country. So their fucking internal secret police are able to track people and fucking kidnap them at any moment. You won't believe it. It's crazy. Very talented. That guy is basically admitting that the Ukrainian government is just a bunch of fucking criminals. Which they are. I mean, it's literally the definition of a criminal government. But, so, alright, I mean, yeah, apparently they picked him up again. That's the word as of, like, this morning, is that he didn't make it to Hungary, they grabbed him. So he's probably gonna die. It's not right. But I wanted to think about this. And I don't have to like, again, there's people that don't like Coach Red Pill because he said stupid shit. He said anti-white shit before. Whatever. Here's the thing. Let's look at it from the perspective of the system that we are told that we live under. He's a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He is being tried for a speech crime, a political crime. Okay? Like, he's not committed any crimes. He's not done anything violent. He's not actually tried to fight for Russia, smuggle arms to Russia. He's simply put out propaganda videos taking the Russian side in the war. It's purely speech, right? And he's objectively taking, like, anybody pretending he's not just siding with the Russians is just, no, he's siding with the Russians. So the thing is, America is going to let Ukraine kill this guy by putting him in, because apparently he's got a health issue. If he goes to a labor camp, he dies, right? That's what he's saying. Well, so, could be true.
Probably, right? Allergic to work, just like me.
Right. Well, let's take that at face value, that if he goes to a Ukrainian labor camp.
Team Nick Ford.
I mean, I don't think it's a big leap of faith to say if this guy goes to Ukrainian labor camp, he probably won't make it out alive. Like, that's probably the case.
Wait, what? Mike was going to say what? Did we all miss that? Is that because this is the Free Fag Edition? Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
So, I just think it's disgusting how they fucked with him. Like, that's a Jewish regime for you. All right, we're going to release you.
But additionally, you know what he said on Twitter before, while he was trying to cross in Hungary, he said, I don't expect the U.S. State Department to intervene because Victoria Nuland, who's a Jew who was recently promoted to, like, effectively second in command under the Jew Anthony Blinken, hates his guts. And she hates his guts because he made videos directly calling out her and her fucking husband and her fucking sister-in-law and brother-in-law, the Kagan family, this little cabal of four kikes. Like, Robert Kagan, the arch neocon, his wife Victoria Nuland, who's literally one of the plotters of the Ukraine coup, the Jewish Ukraine coup in 2014, and the Institute for the Study of War, which is run by Kimberly Kagan, who is the wife of Frederick Kagan, who is Robert Kagan's brother. And let's not forget who was the fucking Russian Jewish Bolshevik kike that was the overseer of the intentional famine of Ukrainians called the Holodomor. Lazar Kaganovich. I would not be fucking surprised if these kikes are bloodline descendants of the Jews that committed the Holodomor. I would not be surprised if these kikes that are plotting this Ukraine war, this little family, this literally, these four Jews, these four fucking kikes that are two husband and wife teams, two four-man teams.
Two and three.
One four-man team.
Yeah,
one four-man team of kikes are literally running this entire policy on Russia and Ukraine in America. And if Victoria Nuland, who's basically the alpha of the group here, it seems, hates this guy, and as her position is second in the State Department, the newly promoted position she has, Warren's going to do a whole show on this upcoming, by the way. If that's the case, then we've been saying our government is criminal for a long time, but I want you to think about it. He's a U.S. citizen. In theory, they have a fucking ethical, legal, moral obligation to him. He hasn't committed. They should call Ukraine and simply say, just put him on a plane back to the United States. Ukraine isn't obligated to keep him in their country. If they want him gone, kick him out. But America should be ethically, legally, and morally obligated to advocate on his behalf. And they're simply not going to do it because Jews don't like him.
He's not a nigger tranny basketball player.
That's what he said. I mean, here's the thing. Coach Red Pill says dumb shit, but you almost wonder, like, again, when he says that, I'm like, see, he actually, again, but the whole thing of, like, if he's not going to say it publicly, whatever, it doesn't mean he should be killed by the fucking kike Zionist regime in Ukraine.
No.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And he's a U.S. citizen, like, you should be able to contact your embassy staff, your consulate staff, if you're put up on charges in another country and get some kind of advocacy from them. There's a fucking, some kind of Pajit who's like a State Department spokesman now. And reporters have actually asked about Coach Red Pill. And this Pajit's like, oh, yeah, I think we've heard about that. We're not exactly sure what's going on with that. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is a fucking criminal government, too. This is just as bad as Ukraine. I mean, think, you're a U.S. citizen. What, you're supposed to have some kind of rights, some kind of guarantees.
They should just, they at the very least, and you know all it would take is one call. The U.S. just tells Ukraine what to do. Just tell them, you know, put this fucking poor fucking schlob on a plane and send him back to America. Don't kill this guy. Just put him on a plane back to the U.S.
They're never going to do that.
And they're not going to do it. They won't do it. And they get, and that fucking, that this fucking, there's this fat, nerdy Pajit who's like a State Department spokesman. He starts smirking as a reporter's asking him a question about it. He's like, yeah, we don't really pay much attention. Yeah, we're kind of aware, but Ned Price also was asked about it. Another fucking one. He's
I scrolled past that on
Ned
Twitter.
Ned Price is a faggot. They're not going to do anything. They're going to just let it happen, and it's because they don't like him.
Right.
And so think about that, because if Jews in the government don't like you, they are going to just let another government effectively murder you. I mean, I think that people should, I mean, and here's the thing. Everyone's like rolling their eyes because they're like, oh, well, duh, you shouldn't have done, you shouldn't have. Yeah, sure, he fucked up. He should have just left Ukraine. He should have done all this shit, right? But there is a moral issue here. And our government is simply reneging on every, it's totally illegitimate. That's the point I'm getting to. The United States government is totally illegitimate. Here is further proof.
Mm-hmm.
All the pretenses, all the shit. Now, I saw some people yesterday were talking about there's this fucking guy in Russia. His name was Mangitsky or something like that. He worked, I don't know if he was Jewish himself, but he worked for a Jewish firm that was committing all kinds of fraud. The Russians put him in jail and he died in jail. When Obama was president, they literally passed laws called like the Mangitsky Act or something like that, which was like meant to like sanction any Russian official they thought was involved with this guy's death in prison. And it was like, and this guy was there on like financial crimes, but because he worked for some Jewish firm, you know, they were outraged. So it's like, just you fucking hypocrites, you just filthy fucking lying hypocrites. Like, this government is just an evil criminal government. If people like just personally don't like you, if Jews in the government like,
you know that it's,
don't like
you. You know that it's illegitimate, because how many millions of people are there just like me who just don't expect them to get him? How many people just expect the U.S. government to be like, yeah. Yeah, they don't like Gunzer Lira. They're not going to do anything to get him back.
Right. I mean, people are like people kind of stepping. People, everyone knows it, but it's also like, no one's really sitting back and reflecting what that actually means.
No.
That actually means that this is a fucking illegitimate government.
It's a failed state.
It's lying. It's reneging on its own promises. Its promises is that you're a citizen. You have rights.
It's a criminal Jewish regime.
Yeah. It's just a criminal Jewish fucking cabal. It's totally illegitimate. And those of you that are simply resigned to Coach Red Pill's fate because of the realities of the world, yes. However, what that means is that our government, the United States government, has reneged on every single promise it makes to its citizens, and therefore it must be removed.
It's time for us to renege.
Now we have to renege on the Tower of
Congress. It's a different kind of renege. It's like shift change at McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's an old dad joke. We'll be right back.
You were listening to The Daily Sowa.